Let's read from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with judgment and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. And then just in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit, strive earnestly in the good conflict of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which thou hast been called, and hast confessed the good confession before many witnesses. I enjoin thee before God, who preserves all things in life, and Christ Jesus, who witnessed before Pontius Pilate the good confession, that thou keep the commandments spotless, irreproachable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his own time the blessed and only ruler shall show, the King of those that reign, and Lord of those who exercise lordship, who only has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor is able to see, but to whom be the honour and eternal might. Amen. This passage in Isaiah is often read at Christmas time, but I was thinking of this today, especially in the light of all that's going on in the world and in this country. Man's administration is, I suppose, at nearly rock bottom, isn't it? The situation in every sphere is just so without precedent, really. Man totally irresponsible. And yet here we have a picture of one who will come and reign. I think that should lift us up. It says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. What a wonderful gift. I was thinking of these names and I'm not able to say much about them, but his name is called Wonderful. Isn't that a wonderful description of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus? Wonderful. There's nobody in the world today, is there, that you could call that? Here is one whose name is Wonderful. Counselor. One who can advise. One who's wise. How many wise people are there today? Here's one who's a counselor. Mighty God, we must never forget who Jesus is, our Saviour. It's God himself, our mighty God. If we think things are going awry, let us take comfort from the fact that we know the one who is the mighty God, the one who is the creator, the one who's in control fully, Father of eternity. Think of that, the stability of that, the one who's from everlasting to everlasting. We live in such an unstable world, don't we? And yet there's another description of Jesus as called the stability of our times. Father of eternity. I think that would stay us. Many in the world are just completely lost as to what to do or how things are going. And even believers can be subject to that as well. But here's, I think it's just wonderful to focus our mind, as Andy's been saying, on that one who is presently at the Father's right hand, and he's all these wonderful things. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, and then lastly, Prince of Peace. When I was a bit younger, we used to talk about the coming of the Lord and thinking of the rapture and the reception of the church into his presence, and that is a wonderful hope. I think all that's been going on has hopefully kindled that hope within our hearts. I think I can say personally, what's happened to us over the last few months has brought home that's a far better place up there. But you know, there's something even greater than that. The Lord is coming to reign. It says here, the increase of his government, there shall be no end. How wonderful that is. And that Jesus, and that blessed man, who's all these wonderful things, he's going to reign. And nothing will stop it. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. No man will be able to stop it. It will be something that will grow. It says he will reign until he's put everything under his feet. I don't think when the Lord comes back to this earth, it will be an overnight thing exactly. From what I can gather from Scripture, his influence will be exerted gradually until he subdues the whole earth. This says, upon the throne of David, that promise that the Messiah that was to come, he's going to receive what his due. It talks about in the Scripture whose right it is. And you know, Satan is the usurper, isn't he? He's taken over this world, but it's not his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Belongs to him, so that he will come back and claim it. And it says to establish over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with judgment and with righteousness. What a contrast to what we see in the news every morning, isn't it? What a wonderful world. And this is not just a pie in the sky idea. This is not just a figment of somebody's imagination. This will actually happen. That the Lord Jesus will come back and establish his reign. Why do we know it's going to happen? God says so. I just love the end of the passage. It says, the zeal of Jehovah of hosts will perform this. No question, dear brethren, that these things are going to happen. So I just thought we should take some encouragement by focusing our minds, as we've already been hearing, upon that blessed one who is going to come and reign in righteousness. And his influence and his wisdom and his beauty will be seen by all. But you know, thinking of the world and its state, well, if you look at the church publicly, it may not be in much better state either. And then we can probably bring it even closer. We look at our history and what we are as a company. And maybe we need to review just where we are. We need these features. It's often been said, isn't it, that the features of the kingdom, which is really what we're reading in Isaiah 9, are found in the assembly, aren't they? They're found here in the church. And that's why I read in Timothy, because here we have similar features which are found, should be found by those that have some idea of leadership and moral responsibility. O man of God, Timothy says. He was a young man. Timothy wasn't an old believer, he was a young believer. But he knew the Lord Jesus, and he was committed to him, and he was given wonderful advice by the aged apostle. And he says, pursue righteousness. That quality which the Lord Jesus is going to exert over the whole earth in a day to come, that very thing, righteousness, we're to pursue it now. We're longing for the day when the Lord Jesus will set things right on this earth. But here, as believers, we're to pursue that same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit. It's the same sort of qualities that we read off of the Lord Jesus himself,
mm-hmm.
the one who's the counsellor, the one who's wonderful, Prince of Peace. Same sort of qualities, but we're to exercise them now as being those that are given that responsibility in this church age, in this present time, when we can be a witness and testimony for him.
Mm.
It says we've been called to these things to which thou hast been called. And then it gives an example of the Lord Jesus himself, who witnessed the good confession. And it's just interesting. He says, you're to do all these things, O man of God. And it says, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus. And then it really brings almost back to where we started in Isaiah 9, when the Lord Jesus will exert his authority. He's going to, which in his own time, you know, God has set a day. Everything is happening according to the divine calendar. And in his own time, Apostle Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus will come and he will be able to see these wonderful things take place. And the Lord Jesus, the only ruler, shall show, the King of those that reign, the Lord of those that exercise lordship. That's our Saviour, the one who died for us, the one who now is raised and living in glory. But we, until that wonderful day, we have the privilege of taking on those features now as believers, that we might grow in our knowledge of him and that we might be a good testimony. Just as Paul says that the Lord Jesus was a good testimony to Pilate, so we can be a good testimony to others in the world, and we can help promote that which is of Christ amongst ourselves. I just thought that it ties up neatly. You have the two things. You have the expectation of the coming of the Lord and all that means for the world. It helps to lift our spirits above all that's going on here. But at the same time, we have responsibility to exercise something of these features like our Master. He's been left as a model that we should walk in his steps. Help us, we may be helped then to take on these features now until he comes. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.